Thank you so much, Dan, and good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Are you fed up?
Yeah.
Did you get enough to eat? I tell you, it was a wonderful dinner. The one that I really liked, you know, they had where it was all from. The one that I really had to chuckle at was the one that came from China City. I said, all you need to do is add the telephone number so we know where to call for their takeout. So what a terrific idea. If you don't know what to bring to the church dinner, stop and get takeout. It's great. Well, it's a joy to be with you tonight. Thank you for inviting me and each of your missionaries to the missionary conference. I do not take missionary conferences lightly. I believe in them because it was in a missionary conference that the Spirit of God called my wife and I from our pastorate to the mission field. As I was telling some at the dinner table tonight, my wife and I, as we took our last pastorate, I was the third pastor in 5 years at that church. When we went to the church, we asked the people, how long was your previous pastor here? We got two different answers. Some said 9 months. Some said 1 year. There's a problem here. Nobody knew how long he was there. The local pastor's fellowship was taking bets as to how long I would last. No one gave me over a year. No one. By God's grace, we stayed four. By God's grace, we got the church out of debt. The people already had a plan in place when we came. We continued that. And when it came time, we challenged them and ourselves. And I said, let's pay this off. And we had like $7,000 is all we owed, and we paid it off. And by God's grace, we saw the church get out of debt. And I was there 4 years. I was beginning my fourth year. One man told me, I voted for you, Tim, because you said you would stay here. You wanted to stay here 10 years. I was in my fourth year of my 10-year assignment. But God had other plans, folks. During our missionary conference, the man that God had used to burden our heart for Jewish people, David Levy of Friends of Israel, was our Bible teacher. And I was really looking forward to that because David had been a blessing in our lives, and he was actually bringing his wife for the first time. We were going to get to meet her. So I was really looking forward to having David. And prior to our missionary conference, I began crying out to God, Lord, send someone from our church to the mission field during this conference. And guess who he sent? As the Spirit of God began dealing with our heart during that missionary conference, I began to fight God. I said, Lord, this wasn't in the mix. You called me to be a pastor, not a missionary. I didn't even feel our work was beginning, let alone ending. Folks, if I had a dollar due to inflation, it's a dollar, not a dime. It was a dollar. If I had a dollar for every time in our first few months at that church, that somebody came up to me and said, you're not leaving, are you? I'd be wealthy today. I decided I was hearing that question so often. I was going to ask, do you want me to go? Sure enough, as soon as I made that commitment that the next time somebody says to me, you're not leaving, are you? I asked them kindly, do you want me to go? No. We just wanted to make sure you're okay. 4 years. But during that missionary conference, the Holy Spirit was dealing with my wife and I want you to go. The time has come. And so during our own missionary conference, the Spirit of God called my wife and I to to Jewish missions with the Friends of Israel. After we applied to the Friends of Israel, I told Kay, I said, we're going to go until God closes the door. That was April 1987. And folks, God hasn't closed the door yet. And so I believe in missionary conferences. I believe in the power of a missionary conference. I believe that that concentrated focus on the heart of God, and I just want you to know I read it. The placemat that said God cares about the lost, and so should we. God cares about the lost, and so should we. And so that's what a missionary conference is all about. That you would once again lift your eyes on the field. Where are you? Where's your mission field? Folks, we as missionaries are no different than you are. We are no different than you. Please underscore that in your thinking. We're no different than you. Just because we're missionaries and we walk into a dark room, it doesn't light up because of the Shekinah glory of God in us. We have to turn the light switch on. We're normal people. One person, I was in their home and they had the best statement. We're just like you, only more so. I like that. We're just like you are, only more so. The only difference is that God has given us a call to a unique area, to a unique ministry for His glory. And so I saw firsthand the power of a missionary conference. That's why you're having the conference. That's why we're here this weekend. To once again put ourselves under the direct focus of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. To burden our heart again afresh and anew. Well, what burdens the heart of God? And I want to thank you again for being with you tonight. Thank you for having Friends of Israel. Will you take your bulletins and join me there? I want you to look at the missionary schedule. And then we're going to pray. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. As we go to prayer, I am going to challenge you with the very thing that I challenge our young people with. So would you bow your heads with me at this time? Tonight is our first one. Tomorrow morning, tomorrow night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. As we go to prayer and we commit our time to the Lord right now, my dear friend, you came tonight with a purpose in mind. But I want to ask you a question. Are you willing, at this very moment as we go to prayer, will you pray now and before you go to bed tonight and your head hits that pillow? Will you pray, God, during this missionary conference, I want you to. What do you want God to do in your heart and in your life in this conference as we're together? What do you want God to do? I'm going to ask you to pray that now and before you go to bed tonight. And then I'm going to ask you on Sunday morning, the Lord willing, did God meet your need? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us life, physical life, but even more importantly, spiritual life through Jesus Christ, whom your word says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Father, I pray for each of the individuals in this room tonight. I pray for this church. I thank you for its leadership, for its pastor and his family. And Lord, we lift them before you this evening. Lord, I want to commit this time of opening the Word of God to you. And so, Lord, I pray for that tonight. I pray for these who are praying even now about what they want you to do in their heart and life. And God, we commit this time to you. And I ask that you'd work in my heart, afresh and anew, through this conference, through your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. At Friends of Israel, we produce a magazine entitled Israel, My Glory. Let me get it out of the way now, and I won't say it again in my time with you. The magazine is free, Israel, My Glory. It goes around the world. Every single issue, we estimate about 1 million people are touching every single issue around the world. 150 countries, or as I like to say, 7 continents. That includes Antarctica. And so God has opened a door for us to touch Antarctica. We're ministering to penguins. Go figure. There is a book on our table. All paperbacks are $10, the hardbound are $20. You don't have to pay. Take the books of your choosing, and you can send your contribution right to the Friends of Israel. My wife and I have our prayer card. This is ours. We hope that you'll take it. Please do. One friend of ours said, any of the missionaries that are on our refrigerator door, get prayed for. And she said, I want you to know you're on our refrigerator door. So we want to be where you're going to pray for us. In the time that it remains, would you open your Bibles and join me in the book of 1 Thessalonians. In our first pastorate, we had a couple who were from Greece. And her husband, her father came. And we were talking, and I happened to be preaching that Sunday morning from 1 Thessalonians, and I talked about the community of Thessalonica. That dear man told me, Tim, I am from Thessalonica. That was my hometown. 1 and 2 Thessalonians are the earliest of the epistles of the Apostle Paul. They are known for one thing, and that is that in their pages, every single chapter has a mention of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. From chapter 1 to chapter 5 in 1 Thessalonians and chapter 1 to chapter 3 in 2 Thessalonians. These are the primers of studying Bible prophecy. Every chapter has a mention of the return of the Lord Jesus. But there is a phrase that appears twice in the book of 1 Thessalonians that I want to focus on in my time with you in this conference. That phrase appears in chapter 1 and then again in chapter 5. It's what I call the theme of the book. If I were to preach through 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, I would call it Keys to Christian Service. What does it take to serve God? Recently, I was asked by our bank manager, Tim, you're speaking. What are you going to be speaking on? What is your topic? And I said, Mike, I am speaking on the keys to Christian service. What does it take to serve God? Look with me at verse 3 of chapter 1, and here is the phrase. It recurs twice. First, in chapter 1, verse 3, later in chapter 5 as well. Notice it with me in verse 3. I want to begin in verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father. Now join me in chapter 5, would you please? Chapter 5. We see it again in another context. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8 now. Look at me at verse 8. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. I can't believe I read this back in the summer, July. I was at Hickory Corners I get to go to all the hot spots in the world. Hickory Corners, Michigan. And went to Gull Lake Bible Church. And when I got there, I saw a card. I thought, this must be the family, the member of the family where I'm staying. It wasn't. The guy was passed out. I knocked on the window. He didn't budge. I looked at my watch. It was about 7:30 in the evening. The guy had passed out. When the gentleman came who I was going to be staying with, he was a police officer. And he discovered that the gentleman that I thought would be a member of the family where I was staying was drunk. He was drunk. 7:30 in the evening. Paul says those who are drunk at night. But then in verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. And so now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, we have a different context of faith, hope, and love. In chapter 1, it is the context of work. To the work, to the work, we sing. My dear friend, there is a work that God has called us to. What is that work? Thank you for asking. What is that work? Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. My dear friend, the work that God has called us to is to take the message of Jesus Christ to the whole world. That's the work He's called us to. That's the work He called you to. It begins in your home and extends to the ends of the earth. That's the work, dear ones. Every single one of us have been called to that work. You can't avoid it. You can't escape it. And so that work is going to require faith, hope, and love. That's chapter 1. But now we look at chapter 5, and it's a different context. It's a different concept. Put on the breastplate of faith and love, and a helmet, the hope of salvation. Now we're looking at warfare. Warfare. Faith. Hope. And love. And so that's what I want to talk with you about in our time together. The keys to Christian service. So let's look together at chapter 1, verse 3. Recently I saw a sign that we don't see a lot of in the state of Michigan, but it was so encouraging. Help wanted. Help wanted. My dear friend, when God saved you, did you know that He gave you a spiritual gift? I have the spiritual gift of irritation, and I exercise it very well. Actually, my spiritual gift, people think, Tim, your spiritual gift has to be. I know, it's evangelism. And it's like, I know it's not. My personal spiritual gift that God has given to Tim Munger is pastor teacher. That's my spiritual gift. My secondary gift is evangelism. When we took a test at our church Everybody couldn't wait to say, what is your, what is it? I know it's evangelism. What is it? Pastor, teacher. What? Let's rescore that. No, pastor, teacher, that's my spiritual gift. My wife says leadership, administration. What's yours? You see, friend, God gave you a spiritual gift to work. Did you know that at Emmanuel Bible Church, there's a help wanted sign out? Every single one of you have a spiritual gift. Every single one of you can be serving right here, right now, and no pastor didn't ask me to say this. It's true. Help wanted. Help wanted. Help needed. And it starts here. You're not going to serve overseas in missions if you're not already doing it in your local church. Don't think you're going to be doing anything any different if you go overseas and you're not reaching out here. Don't think you're going to be doing anything any different if you go to a mission field in the city. Do you realize, folks, in the city of Detroit, this is incredible. A few years ago, when we were moving back to Detroit, in 2001, Detroit was celebrating her 300th anniversary as a city, from 1701 to 2001. As I was flying on Northwest Airlines, Detroit has 49 different languages that make up the city of Detroit. Before we left to go work in the home office of Friends of Israel out in New Jersey, we had a fantastic Russian outreach. 15,000 Soviet Jews were in the Detroit area. And God opened that door. I got into that kicking and screaming. I didn't want to get into that. I wanted to be on campus at the University of Michigan, which is 30% Jewish. That's where I wanted to be. But God didn't put me there. God opened. He pushed us, literally pushed us, kicking and screaming, into Russian outreach. 49 different languages. My dear friend, God is bringing the mission field to our shores. What are we going to do with them? Does Saginaw have a minority? I know they do. Hispanic minority, major Hispanic population here in Saginaw. At least there was when I was in school at Flint U of M, because I had friends who were from Saginaw, and he happened to be Hispanic. Oh, my dear friend, God has brought the mission field to our shores. What are we going to do with them? The one thing that people know about Detroit, besides the Tigers being in the World Series this year, is that Detroit has a Muslim population in Dearborn of 350,000 Muslims in Dearborn. What does it take to serve God? There are three specific phrases that God uses to show us what it is to go to work for Him. What's it going to take to work for God? Number one, it's going to take a work of faith. Two ideas that are inherent in Paul's statement, the work of faith. Number one, salvation. Salvation. Before you can be a missionary, you got to get saved. That's the prerequisite. That's the prerequisite. You got to know the Lord Jesus. I was 14. I didn't want to be in church that night. Davison was tied with Beecher. This was heady stuff, folks. Major stuff. On that Friday night in February in 1969, Davison was tied with Flint Beecher for first place. And Beecher was in town that night, and I'm in church. My heart was in the gym. I wanted to know, how's it going? What's the score? How are we doing? Didn't hear a word the pastor said that night. Didn't hear a single word until the end of his message. And he gave the invitation. And he said, I want you to look at your heart like a picture window. And God is looking inside. What does he see? And so I began to pray, God, what do you see? What do you see? And the Spirit of God, that moment when I turned to him and I said, Lord, what do you see in me? Folks, the Holy Spirit showed Tim Munger that he was a sinner. He needed a Savior. And I was undone. I didn't want to be the first one to the altar that night, but I was the second. I was the second one that came to that altar and bowed before the Lord Jesus Christ and said to him, Lord, I am a sinner. You are my Savior. Would you come into my life? Save me. You see, folks, going forward didn't save me. Trusting the Lord Jesus did. And so, dear ones, the first prerequisite of serving God is the work of faith. And that work of faith is called salvation. Do you remember that day when you got saved? Do you remember? Can you say with John Peterson, heaven came down and glory filled my soul? The work of faith involves salvation. But that work of faith also involves my service. You see, dear ones, every work of God begins with faith. Can I believe God? Can I believe Him? We have two young couples going to their respective fields, West Africa, Venezuela. I'm anxious to hear their story. I'm anxious to hear their story. Faith in Southeast Asia. My dear friend, it's called faith. They're stepping out in faith. They're trusting that God is going to lead them. They're trusting that God is going to provide for them. They're trusting that God is going to use them. That's what they're trusting. And folks, every work of God begins there. It begins with seeing that God can do it. Can He do it, dear ones? Can He do it? What? Wake up! Can He do it? Thank you. I know it's Friday, and I know you've eaten. Folks, there are two times you never want to speak. Once when it's just before supper, and once when it's after supper. Everything in between is okay. Just don't do it before it, and don't do it after. Oh, dear ones, it all starts there. Do I really believe that God can use me? There is a gentleman who wants to volunteer with the Friends of Israel, and he said, Tim, I based on Romans 12, 1 and 2, I gave myself to the Lord afresh and anew to serve Him in Jewish missions. I want to volunteer with the Friends of Israel based on what happened to me in Romans 12, 1 and 2. My dear friend, are you willing to believe that God can use you? I loved reading about Emmanuel Bible Church and New Tribes Missions. And folks, every work of God began with faith. In 1938, and the Jewish people are amazed when they hear that Friends of Israel gospel ministry started before modern Israel became a nation. Modern Israel became a nation in 1948. Friends of Israel started in 1938 as a group of Christians wanted to band together to reach out in the name of the Lord Jesus to touch fleeing Jews from Nazi Europe. And that's the roots of Friends of Israel. Somebody had a vision and believed God. My dear friend, that's what it's going to take. It took that for Emmanuel Bible Church. It takes that for every work of God. My hero, my spiritual hero, is Hudson Taylor. He had a vision for the interior of China. Oh, dear ones, every work of God begins with that work of faith. And so if it takes my work, I am to serve. I am saved to serve. The work of faith is my vision. It's my vision that God has given to me. The next phrase, I love this one. It is a labor of love. If the work of faith is my vision for serving, the labor of love is my motivation for serving. Who do I love? Oh, my dear friend, who do we love? You tell me. Who do we love? The Lord Jesus. That's exactly what John the Apostle said. We love Him because He first loved us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And dear ones, that is the motivation for our service. It's a labor of love. Even if they don't love us back. July 2nd, I received an email from a Jewish leader in Detroit. I want to meet with you. I'm concerned about some of your activities. One of the greatest opportunities that we have in Detroit, bar none, is a door that God has opened. I'm the only Christian on the Walk for Israel committee. I get to help plan the Walk for Israel in Detroit. Every single organization on that Walk committee is Jewish, except me. One day, the rabbi said, "We're all Jews here." And then he looked at me and he laughed. And I said, "Rabbi, that's a compliment that you've just paid me. I take that as a compliment." He wanted to meet because it's called muzzle time. It's muzzle time. So I contacted our walk director and I said, "Here's what I've got. What do you think?" And he said, "You want to know two things. Who's behind it and what's behind it?" So I emailed him back and we played cat and mouse. And finally, he simply said, "Will you meet me or not?" And I said, "No. You know me well enough. You don't need to meet. I really don't want to meet with you. Have a nice day." After the 4th of July, I got another email. And this one was, "Well, you need to hear my concerns anyway. So I'll give you my concerns." And so he did. Finally, I simply said, "I am an evangelical. I share my faith with Jew and Gentile alike. We are equal opportunity sharers. If somebody doesn't want to hear, that's fine. I'm not going to force it on them. But I said, I will not succumb to what you've asked me to do, which is commit that I will not tell Jews about Jesus and I will not teach others how to do that. I will not accede to that request. My dear friend, the issue is not Tim Munger. The issue is not Israel, my glory. The issue is not Friends of Israel. The issue is Jesus Christ. If he would have stayed dead, nothing would have happened. But he didn't. He's alive. And the reason they don't like us is because they don't like him. It's not us. It's him. And you know what, folks? We go to them because we love them. Now, they will say, if you loved us so much, you wouldn't tell us about Jesus. It's the other way around. Oh, my dear friend, it's because we do love him that we tell. What's my motivation for going? It's because I love him. And more importantly, he loves them. He loves them. I have a vision, a work of faith. I have motivation, labor of love. Now I have continuation, patience of hope. I love that word, patience. I love that word, patience. It's that word in Hebrews chapter 12. Will you join me there? In Hebrews chapter 12. I went to Gull Lake. We took our teens in our last pastorate to Gull Lake. We had a youth group of about four kids, and we took them all. We all stayed together in a small cottage and had a great time together in that week. I was going through some struggles, and so our Bible teacher that week was Stanley Toussaint from Dallas Theological Seminary. And he was a powerful teacher and preacher of the Word of God. And he was so encouraging to me. I went up to him after the morning service, and I said, Dr. Toussaint, can I buy you a cup of coffee? Sidebar. When you look at your bulletins, folks, when you look at that in the conference, I want you to see we start with a potluck supper. We're having a continental breakfast. Tomorrow night, we're having a chili supper. We're eating together Sunday. Folks, it's not until we meet again, it's until we eat again. Wherever two or three Christians are gathered, there will be a meal. It's until we eat again. And so I asked him, Dr. Toussaint, will you join me? And we sat down and I shared my heart with him. And on Friday night, the last night of the week, and he was getting ready to preach, he came up to me and he said, you know, Tim, I thought of you as I was preparing my message tonight. Really? Me? Little old me? You thought about me? He said, Tim, there's a word in Hebrews chapter 12 that I want to remind you of. It's called hupomone. Hupomone. In Hebrews chapter 12, look at me at verse number 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with patience. There's that word, hupomone, that run with endurance. Hupomone. The race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, hupomoneed the cross. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down in the right hand of the throne of God. My dear friend, welcome to God's weight room. Can you hold it? Can you hold it? The patience of hope is endurance. I have coworkers that I've seen God open amazing relationships for them with Jewish organizations. And I've seen God do the same for me, but I've also seen God allow unbelievable conflict with Jewish organizations. And I asked myself the question, how come? Why? Why me? It's the weight room, friend. Are you in God's weight room tonight? Are you in God's weight room tonight? Is there an issue in your life you want God to remove and it's not going anywhere? Hupomone. Endure it. Be strengthened by it. Because God designs it for good. Hupomone is continuing. How can I hupomone? What's the hope? That it's all going to make sense, that it's all going to bring glory to God. The Lord Jesus hupomone'd the cross because he knew that it would bring you and me into fellowship with him and give us eternity with him. It's trusting that God has a purpose. It's believing him and saying, God, it's not for me, it's for your glory. It's about you, it's not about me. It's about you. And that hope, dear friend, always in the New Testament, has in view the return of Jesus Christ. That is our hope. And it's the reminder that when he comes, he's coming for me. And so there you have the three qualities of serving God: the work of faith, the labor of love, and the patience of hope. That's what it takes. The help wanted sign is out. In the work of God. Are you willing to apply? Are you willing to work? To the work. To the work. And we do it together. Father, thank you for this evening. And we ask your blessing on your word as we've heard it in Jesus' name. Amen.